QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for August 17, 2011. The Aries Audio e-letter report is a voice version of the Aries e-letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries e-letter is available online at www.arrl.org/Aries-L. Or you may listen to the audio version at www.arrl.org/Aries-E-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, and my script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. In this edition, we have for you Aries Briefs, ECAC Studying Aries and NTS Issues, EC-001 Updates, ARRL Partners Roundup, Letters, Basic Training ICS, Hurricane Season Heats Up, a review of the Aries Disaster Principles, MCOM East, September 25th, Rochester, New York, and K1CE for a final. First, Aries Briefs. July 26th, New Mexico hams provide communication support during wildfires. And this title is incorporated in the following website. Please read www.arrl.org/news/new-mexico-hams-provide-communications-support-during-wildfires. The Hope for the Warriors Foundation Run for the Warriors is a 10K, 5K, and 1 mile run taking place in Lindenhurst, New York, November 13th. John Melfi, W2HCB, the EC and RO of Babylon, New York, and president of the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, is seeking communicators to work the event. Mr. Melfi says, "We have had operators from Staten Island, Manhattan, and as far east as the Twin Forks on eastern Long Island." He says, "For the past 2 years, we have had 65 operators and would like to see an increase this year. This organization helps veterans and their families with medical and housing needs. To volunteer, please see the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club website, www.gsbarc.org, www.gsbarc.org. Now looking ahead a bit, the 2012 edition of MCOM West will be starting on Friday, May 4th, and running through Sunday, May 6th. MCOM West will again be hosted in Reno, Nevada at the Grand Sierra Resort. The ARRL Minnesota section has an excellent Aries website. Check it out at www.minnesotaaries.org. ECAC Studying Aries and NTS Issues. A committee of the ARRL Board of Directors has tasked the League's Emergency Communications Advisory Committee, ECAC, with studying and making recommendations for possible changes in the structural and functional relationships between the venerable National Traffic System and Aries. Specifically, the charge to the committee states, and I quote, "The Amateur Radio Emergency Service and the National Traffic System exist as the ARRL's implementation of the basic principles stated in the FCC's Rules and Regulations, Part 97.1a. Recognition and enhancement of the value of the amateur service to the public as a voluntary non-commercial communication service, particularly with respect to providing emergency communications. The ECAC is hereby tasked by the Programs and Services Committee, the PSC, to recommend improvements to Aries and NTS so that the amateur service can better serve the public in providing emergency communications. Specific topics should include, but not be limited to, the following. 1. Aries and NTS objectives and organizational structures. 2. integration between Aries and NTS. 3. Training, certification, and credentialing. And 4. Relationships with served agencies. Progress reports should be submitted to the PSC every 90 days, and the final report should be submitted by June 1, 2012. In discussions with ECAC Chairman Dale Williams, WA8EFK, his feeling is that the study is an opportunity to take a fresh look at the overall organizational structure and look for improvements in several areas, including how we are perceived by served agencies. Williams says the committee should study questions such as how well we fit our goals with their needs, and how they view our ability to fill their needs, and how promptly we are able to respond. On the messaging side of the equation, questions the committee will consider are how well we handle messages, including tactical versus strategic messaging, and speed versus accuracy. Williams also said, and I quote, "There is a feeling that the last-mile relationship between traffic handlers and Aries members seems to be broken. Neither feels an affinity towards the other. NTSers in general don't join Aries, and vice versa, yet both groups have claims on abilities to handle traffic in an emergency. Fixing this may also be a goal of the committee." The committee met in teleconference on August 3rd to consider and edit drafts of surveys planned for release to gain field input on these questions of Aries and NTS and possible integration. The surveys should be sent to the field soon. The committee will meet again on September 7th. Readers are invited to contact their ECAC representatives to provide their own input on these questions via email to the following: Chairman Dale Williams, WA8EFK, at dale.wms1@frontier.com. Jim Cross, WI3N, at wi3n.arrl.net. Bill Nemeth, KB9ENO, at bnemeth@new.rr.com. Jim Zaradnichek, KD0S at kd0s@kd0s.com, Jim Coleman, AI5B at WPCDE911 at itsfast.net, Jim Mesley, W2KFV at w2kfv@aol.com, Reynolds Davis, K0GND at reynoldsd1@aol.com. Dave Coulter, WA1ZCN, at dbcoulter@myfairpoint.net. Gordon Grove, WA7LNC, at gorgrolnc@juno.com. James Latham, AF6AQ, at jrlatham@sbcglobal.net. Charlie Miller, AE4UX, at AE4UX@bellsouth.net. Jeff Ryan, K0RM, at K0RM@arrl.org. Rick Palm, K1CE, at K1CE@arrl.net. Grant Hayes, WB6OTS, at ghays@cis-broadband.com, Glenn Reed, K5FX, at k5fx@arrl.net, and Doug Mercer, VO1DTM, at vo1dtm@hotmail.com. The board liaison is Mickey Cox, K5MC, and the ARRL headquarters liaison is Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, W5MPC. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, and this is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter for August 17, 2011. We'll stand by now for a few seconds to allow repeater stations to identify themselves. EC-001 updates. field classes and exams for Introduction to Emergency Communication ready to launch. The infrastructure to relaunch field instruction in ARRL's Emergency Communications Training Program is now in place. The printed course transcript is now available in the ARRL store, www.arrl.org/shop/the/arrl-introduction-2-emergency-communication-course. Again, for a printed course transcript to ARRL's Emergency Communications Training Program, go to www.arrl.org/shop/the/arrl-introduction-2-emergency-communication-course. Field exams for the new course have been developed and are available from the ARRL Continuing Education Program Office. You may review requirements for registering as a field examiner and find the information you'll need to perform those responsibilities at www.arrl.org/emergency-communications-field-examiners. That's www.arrl.org/emergency-communications-field-examiners. If you need to find authorized ARRL field instructors or field examiners, you can conduct a search at our database at www.arrl.org/find-a-fi and www.arrl.org/find-a-fe. So again, for field instructors or field examiners, www.arrl.org/find-a-fi. We've also just launched a new searchable database for field instructors and field examiners to register their classes and or exam sessions on our website www.arrl.org/find-an-mcom-class-exam. That's www.arrl.org/find-an-mcom-class-exam. Another update, EC001 Field Instructors Needed. Field instructors are volunteers who commit their time and expertise to offer classroom instruction of the ARRL Amateur Radio Emergency Communications course. Volunteer instructors may now conduct classroom instruction covering the material in the new Introduction to Emergency Communication course. Field instructors must be registered with the ARRL Continuing Education Program and must meet certain requirements. Those requirements are 1. Completion of EC001, either the old or new version. Completion of FEMA I-100, I-200, I-700, and I-800 courses. 3. Must be 18 years of age with technician or higher license. 4. Must be an ARRL member. And 5. Must be recommended by a section manager. If you are interested in serving as an ARRL field instructor for EC001, you may submit an application at www.arrl.org/application-4-mcom-mentor-or-field-instructor. Again, that's www.arrl.org/application-4-mcom-mentor-or-field-instructor. Now the ARRL Partners Roundup. Red Cross. Check the Red Cross webpage, www.redcross.org, for their excellent heat wave safety checklist. Summer heat is at record highs in many parts of the country. Be safe out there. Federal Emergency Management Agency, September is a time to remember and a time to prepare, and September is National Preparedness Month. To sign up to be a National Preparedness Month Coalition member, click on http://community.fema.gov/connect.ti/ReadyNPM. I'll repeat that, http://community.fema.gov/connect.ti/ReadyNPM. ARRL Media and Public Relations Manager Alan Pitts, W1AGP, offers the following advice on National Preparedness Month. There are only a couple of weeks left before September, so time to sign up is short. In the past years, clubs and ARES groups listed on FEMA's national government website have been among the very top activities for National Preparedness Month, and it got noticed. It doesn't require you to do much more than your group is probably doing already, so there's no reason not to sign in. Besides that, you can get good materials for newsletters and promotional media for free from them. Once you sign up, look around their website. There are places you can post pictures and stories on their national website, too. This is a no-brainer for PIOs and for national exposure. APCO International's 77th Conference and Expo. ARRL staff members Mike Corey, W5MPC, and Ken Bailey, K1FUG, attended the Association of Public Safety Communications Officials International, or APCO, conference held in Philadelphia, August 7th through 10th, 2011. During this four-day event, the attendees could sit in on numerous presentations on topics such as interoperability, the FCC's narrow bandings mandate that impacts public service communications, P25 modes of operations, ICS structures, and a host of other public safety communications concerns. Opportunities abounded to learn new skills, explore new products and services, and connect with public safety officials and hams alike. The Salvation Army has published photos of the recent worst local flood in history in Minot, North Dakota at http://blog.salvationarmyusa.org/?P=6871. Again, for the Salvation Army's photos of the North Dakota flood, go to http://blog.salvationarmyusa.org/?P=6871. They show the extreme devastation and caseworkers preparing for long-term assistance. We'll take a break now to allow repeaters to identify. This is the August 17, 2011 audio version of the ARRL ARES e-letter. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. This is the audio version of the ARRL ARES e-letter for August 17, 2011. We continue now with more ARRL Partners Roundup items. REACT International, reactintl.org, had its board meeting on August 14th. REACT International has the following objectives. 1. To assist in any emergency by supplying volunteer radio communications in cooperation with authorities and other volunteer organizations. 2. To practice and encourage operating excellence through professional communication techniques. 3. To maintain equipment at peak efficiency and operate in accordance with all government regulations. And 4. To advise the public of correct, effective use of the emergency frequencies, such as Citizens Band Channel 9er, General Mobile Radio Service Frequency 462.675 MHz, and cellular 911. The Reactor, www.thereactor.com, is the official online publication of REACT International. National Weather Service, NWS, Skywarn. Complete information on this critical volunteer spotter program, in which radio amateurs play a major part, can be found at nws.noaa.gov/skywarn/here. That's nws.noaa.gov/skywarn/here. The ARRL recently updated its Memorandum of Understanding with the National Weather Service. You may see the new document at arrl.org/files/news/arrl-nws_mou_June2011.pdf. So again, for this updated Memorandum of Understanding document, go to arrl.org/files/media/news/arrl-nws_mou_June2011.pdf. National Public Safety Telecommunications Council's quarterly newsletter is online and available for viewing at npstc.org/newsletter.jsp?vol=1:2. So for that quarterly newsletter, go online at npstc.org/newsletter.jsp?vol=1:2. Now, letters. Rick Aldum, W7STS, the Arizona Assistant Section Emergency Coordinator, writes, "Force multiplier, not last-ditch fallback." In regard to last month's op-ed piece, one of the first questions I was asked a number of years ago in Tempe, Arizona, is why the public safety communications systems are going to fail. My answer was, I didn't know they would fail, but I was pretty sure that in a major disaster, they would become channel-limited and their trunked systems would be operating at capacity. Amateur radio adds capacity when needed. As the author noted, it's not free, but it's close. Walt Schucknecht, N7IZM, has another way to illustrate it. He puts us in the role of the color commentator. Sure, you could listen to the ball game without Mark Grace telling you what the players are going through, but Mark Grace adds a richness to the presentation because he's been in the batter's box. Presenting amateur radio in the same way sets achievable expectations, and if your served agencies have issues, your team is positioned to quickly and quietly step in. Later, boasting about how you saved the day, however, is probably not a smart way to win relationships and be invited back at a later date. Keeping a low profile and being able to deliver a meaningful response when requested will keep you in demand. In my opinion, which is likely not shared by everyone, the days of Katrina, like total system failures, are largely behind us. The big boys had their butts handed to them and have since spent a lot of effort, time, and money to dissect the underlying problems and strengthen them appropriately. A case in point was when well over 500,000 citizens were evacuated during the California wildfires in San Diego. The system was strained, but it didn't collapse. Where these systems frankly didn't play well is with the more local issues, like coordinating the evacuation of a nursing home or smaller neighborhoods. This is being a force multiplier, as the author points out. What I mean is, do you want to tie up a bunch of firemen or sworn officers, or does it make sense to use volunteers to go house to house, thus multiplying the effect of those few professionals? Having a wide area communication system in place that we can bring to the party makes us only that much more valuable. I really believe that Al Taylor, KN3U, hit the nail right on the head. And Richard Webb, NF5B, the NTS Central Area Staff Chairman, writes, "I just wanted to comment that I am in 100% agreement with the op-ed piece in the last issue. It's time we started touting our capabilities as a force multiplier, but to be able to do that, we need truly trained operators, and that means training in radio basics. Those of us on the sharp end of the rope, serving our CERT teams, etc., and people in our neighborhoods and workplaces, need competent people to man net control and to actually handle our traffic. That's the part that NTS is supposed to play, training as well as long-haul messaging capability. We're rapidly losing that capability. Operators aren't used to thinking beyond infrastructure, such as repeaters, etc. That's where we fall down. Our operators don't have the access to the training they need to acquire the skills they must have." Dick Montgomery, N3DV in Bedminster, New Jersey, writes, "As concerns the Dan Wall Barneveld tornado story, wow, you are quite right. Wall's story is gripping, compelling. It should be compulsory reading for every amateur radio operator who thinks that he or she is ready to handle MCOM duties. No amount of net affiliation, parades, bicycle rallies, or general drill duty can train a volunteer for what to expect in the way of the charged atmosphere of a real disaster. Unfortunately, just getting people to read Wall's account doesn't mean that it will be understood or taken to heart. I'm certainly not advocating that we all become licensed amateur psychiatrists in addition to radio operators, but I think, in addition to an equipment check and a basic personal appearance scrutiny, there should also be some compulsory basic sensitivity training provided for anyone volunteering for duty in a disaster area." We'll stand by now for a few seconds to allow repeater stations to identify themselves. This is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter. This is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter for August 17, 2011. Here's a note to repeater owners. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter with an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. And please remember to put the word repeater in the subject line. Also include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. The email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. The ARRL audio version of the Aries e-letter is transmitted at 9 p.m. biweekly on Friday evenings and at 8 p.m. Sunday evenings on the WB3GXW 147.225 MHz repeater in Silver Spring, Maryland. It is also simultaneously transmitted on the Echolink WashDC server, node 6154. We thank John Creel, WB3GXW, for his support. Basic Training, ICS. The government's Incident Command System, also known as ICS, was developed in the 1970s following a series of fires in California's urban interface. Property damage ran into the millions, and many people died or were injured. The personnel assigned to determine the causes of these outcomes studied the case histories and discovered that response problems could rarely be attributed to the lack of resources or failure of tactics. Surprisingly, studies found that response problems were far more likely to result from inadequate management than from any other single reason. The Incident Command System was developed as a standardized management tool for meeting the demands of small or large emergency or non-emergency situations. The ICS represents best practices and has become the standard for emergency management across the country. It may be used for planned events, natural disasters, and acts of terrorism. It is a key feature of the National Incident Management System, or NIMS. The ICS is a management system designed to enable effective and efficient domestic incident management by integrating a combination of facilities, equipment, personnel, procedures, and communications operating within a common organizational structure. ICS is used by all levels of government, federal, state, local, and tribal, as well as by many private sector and non-governmental organizations. ICS is also applicable across disciplines. It is normally structured to facilitate activities in five major functional areas: command, operations, planning, logistics, and finance and administration. We'll have more in the next issue. Hurricane season heats up. A review of the ARES disaster principles. Number 1. Keep the QRM level down. In a disaster, many of the most crucial stations will be weak in signal strength. It is essential that all other stations remain silent unless they are called upon. If you're not sure you should transmit, don't. Our amateur bands are very congested. If you want to help, study the situation by listening. Don't transmit unless you are sure you can help by doing so. Don't ever break into a disaster net just to inform the control station you are there if needed. Number 2. Monitor established disaster frequencies. Many localities and some geographical areas have established disaster frequencies where someone is always, or nearly always, monitoring for possible calls. When you're not otherwise engaged, it is helpful simply to sit and listen on such frequencies, some of which are used for general rag-chewing as well as disaster preparedness drilling. Number 3. Avoid spreading rumors. During and after a disaster situation, especially on the phone bands, you may hear almost anything. Unfortunately, much misinformation is transmitted. Rumors are started by expansion, deletion, amplification or modification of words, exaggeration, or interpretation. All addressed transmissions should be officially authenticated as to their source. These transmissions should be repeated word for word, if at all, and only when specifically authorized. In a disaster emergency situation with everyone's nerves on edge, it is little short of criminal to make a statement on the air without foundation in authenticated fact. Number 4. Authenticate all messages. Every message which purports to be of an official nature should be written and signed. Whenever possible, amateurs should avoid initiating disaster or emergency traffic themselves. We do the communicating. The agency officials we serve supply the content of the communications. Number 5. Strive for efficiency. Whatever happens in an emergency, you will find hysteria and some amateurs who are activated by the thought that they must be sleepless heroes. Instead of operating your own station full-time at the expense of your health and efficiency, it is much better to serve a shift at one of the best located and best equipped stations. This station will be suitable for the work at hand and manned by relief shifts of the best qualified operators. This reduces interference and secures well-operated stations. Finally, number 6. Select the mode and band to suit the need. It is a characteristic of all amateurs to believe that their favorite mode and band is superior to all others. For certain specific purposes and distances, this may be true. However, the merits of a particular band or mode in a communications emergency should be evaluated impartially with a view to the appropriate use of bands and modes. There is, of course, no alternative to using what happens to be available, but there are ways to optimize available communications. We pause now to allow repeater stations to identify. This is the ARRL ARES Audio E-Letter for August 17, 2011. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. MCOM East, September 25th, Rochester, New York. The fourth annual MCOM East Emergency Communications Conference is set for September 25, 2011, at the St. John Fisher College in Rochester, New York. MCOM East is an ARRL-sanctioned amateur radio emergency communications conference where amateur radio operators involved in MCOM can attend training sessions on technical topics, learn from served agencies, and interact with other MCOM operators from all over the area. Featured speaker this year is Mike Corey, W5MPC. Mr. Corey is the Emergency Preparedness Manager for the ARRL. His major responsibilities include interfacing with ARRL's national partners, emergency communications training, support and guidance for the ARRL Field Organization on Emergency Communications Issues, organization of the ARRL Headquarters Emergency Response Team, MOU compliance, and addressing the development and implementation of an organizational disaster response plan, complete with supporting procedures and training. Register online at mcomeast.org. The $30 registration fee includes a continental breakfast and lunch. And now, K1CE for a final. Rick Palm says, "This is my last chance to communicate with readers before the upcoming 10th anniversary of 9/11 next month. I know I mentioned this in another issue earlier this year, but if you missed it, here is another chance to read a first-person report by 9/11 first responder and radio amateur Bob Heil, W2IK. I found it to be raw and powerful. Click on www.w2ik.info. Mr. Heil was among the first to be on the scene on 9/11/2001. The author is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of his experience. For me, it is a good way to remember and memorialize those courageous responders who helped others in one of world history's most horrific events." That's the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter version for August 17, 2011. The Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Copyright 2011 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.